Welcome to another awesome episode of The Dorkening. Today we are talking about controversies surrounding Joss Whedon, and also the most awesome Ghostbusters Afterlife clip. Those friggin' little baby Stay Puft Marshmallow Men are so damn cute. Are they the new Baby Yoda? We discuss. Also, a new Mario movie came out, and we talk about why I have problems liking the 80s version. Also, obviously, Falcon and Bucky is totally kicking ass. We have a most righteous dorkening session coming at you right now.
The Dorkening and all affiliated shows are not intended for anyone under the age of 18. The following may contain discussions or scenes that have adult situations, graphic violence, nudity, strong sexual content, and graphic language. This show is intended for mature audiences only. Viewer discretion is advised.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're watching The Dorkening. Stay tuned.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is time for The Dorkening, and we have an awesome show scheduled for you today, as always. Steven, how are you doing, my friend?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Velvet Joker from Splash Pages, how's it going?
Good evening, good evening. I'm good, thanks. Hope everyone's having a good time.
Yeah, going to have a great time. Drew, also from Splash Pages, and Screen Rant, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on? As everyone said, good evening, finger signs, yes.
James is going on vacation, so he ditched us. but we have an awesome panel here, so we're going to be talking about some cool stuff. But, you know, I've been hearing everybody say, fuck Joss Whedon. What the hell happened there?
Can I start that?
Yeah, please can do.
Okay, cool. Gentlemen, hello. Thank you for coming to this meeting discussing the fate of Joss Whedon. And I would like to promote one simple idea, okay? We have to be careful when we put people too high on a pedestal, okay? This is kind of like when they tell you don't meet your heroes, and you meet a hero and he's amazing, then you meet a hero and he sucks, because karma is about balance. So this is my point about Joss Whedon, is that, you know, at one point, Joss Whedon could do no wrong, right?
But yeah, fire
eventually,
fraud.
Yeah, listen, no one is taking away Buffy, yep. Angel, Firefly, Dollhouse. The guy wrote the screenplay for Speed.
Alien
with
Resurrection.
Keanu Reeves. There you go. He wrote Alien Resurrection. I would have loved to have seen his screenplay for X-Men, because that one line everybody quotes all the time with Wolverine and Cyclops, which is so them. He knocked it out of the park with Avengers. Okay, fine. We're not going to take that away from him, right? So my point being is now we know, because unfortunately, a lot of people, when we focus so much on the good, we kind of forget the bad. But this is how it happens. Once we see it, we can't unsee it. So my advice to this whole thing, and gentlemen, you're more than one, I welcome you to disagree with this, is that we have to do with what unfortunately we've done with other people. Woody Allen comes to mind, Roman Polanski. In my opinion, you have to separate the work from the artist.
Yep.
You know? So again, you can appreciate Avengers because it's a great movie. You know, it still gets me chills, you know, but do I like Joss Whedon now as a person? I was like, I don't really respect him because of what I found out. It wasn't just now, it was over time, you know, but do I still love his run on Astonishing X-Men with John Cassidy? Absolutely. It's great. So that's just my thing. So, okay. Was, in my opinion, Justice League a bit of a mess? Sure. You know, but you know, okay, now we know. So now we just know that we just have to love stuff and just kind of, when we see Joss, we're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So that's my two cents. There are three other people here. So if you guys feel differently, go.
Well, you know, I'll kick it off to the other guys as well. But, you know, I agree with you that, you know, we need to keep their personality and their work separate. You know, definitely take into account the, you know, if they're doing bad, you know, definitely, you know, for how he's been treating people, he, you know, his work should be limited. But, you know, his head got a bit too big there, you know, and it's... You know, going on with Gal Gadot, and I want to say Gadot, but Gadot, you know, threatening her career because she wouldn't say the lines that he wrote or something, however it went. You know, obviously that's wrong, but I agree with you that, you know, you need to separate because we've all been to cons and we've met our heroes before, and some of us had definitely let us down. You know, or they were having a bad day and treated us like crap, but you still love them in the big screen and on the TV.
Right. Yeah. What do you guys think?
I agree with both of you that you should separate the person from their personal life, their career, their body of work. I agree with you guys on that. That being said, you know, his work, you know, from Buffy to Firefly and all that stuff is good. However, what he's been doing... But, you know, off the camera lately doesn't, you know, look, if you're going to criticize him, don't criticize his work. Just, you know, that's just my opinion. But I agree with you guys.
So. Okay.
Sure. Absolutely. And the one angle that we haven't talked about, it's interesting that Ray Fisher's been screaming about this for 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
People were always had, it was, they were skeptical of what he was saying. And maybe he was overreacting, but one little article about Wonder Woman comes out, and everyone's like, "Oh, Joss Whedon, fuck him now."
Well, you know, and it's funny, and I don't care. This is how I feel. Like, I very often am skeptical when you have somebody who constantly keeps saying they're a feminist. Like, and that's just my thing. Joss Whedon was always like, "I'm a feminist. I always write strong female characters and whatnot." For me, it was the fact that he kept saying it. Like, I swear there was a time all of his interviews had that. And personally, for me, I'm just like, you know how you can be a good feminist? Just write good characters, treat everybody with respect on both ends, hold everybody accountable. That's your way to be a good feminist. But he just kept saying it to me. I was like, it's kind of like when people are every like week or so, they're always so adamant about, oh, we're so in love, all this stuff, to the point where it's almost like, okay, really? Something's up. And then, you know, a year later,
they protest too much.
Exactly. So again, this is just how my train of thought is that he kept bringing it up. And then I remember years ago, his ex said something online, and I read the whole thing, and it was about how, like, he admitted to that he had multiple affairs, you know, all this stuff and behind the scenes. So I was like, okay, great. So now I can enjoy Firefly because it's a great show, but Joss Whedon's a bit of a schmuck.
Yep.
Okay. You know, and then all this stuff that we find out with Buffy, you know, I mean, Charisma Carpenter has her thing. I read all that. I was like, wow, this is horrible.
Now, she was the one that he wasn't allowed to stay in the room with? Was that it?
No, that was Michelle Trachtenberg.
Okay.
Yeah. And the fact being that Sarah Michelle Gellar, who, that's Buffy.
Yeah.
That's always going to be Buffy.
Yep.
The fact that she was like, I will always love being associated with Buffy, but I'm now very distanced from Joss Whedon. To me, that was like, wow, that's a huge thing, you know? So it's just, you know... Again, it's the same thing. Like if I'm hanging out with a bunch of friends and we put the Avengers on in the background, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm focused more on this is a great movie, you know? And when I see like, oh, okay, it's directed by Joss Whedon, I'm just like, okay, we're going to just fast forward through this. You know, it's just, it's horrible. And like, you know, but we have to acknowledge the good and the bad because that's the full picture now, you know? And that's the thing is we didn't know. And whether or not it's because people felt they couldn't talk about it, because like you said, because of they were afraid of hurting their career, that unfortunately has been something we've seen in Hollywood all this time. Like one of our viewers just brought up, Harvey Weinstein, I mean, that was, you know, that changed, let's just be real, that changed how we view entertainment, but yeah, that's how it's always been. It's kind of like one of those secrets we always knew. Kind of like how in the Marvel Universe, everybody knows about the Kingpin, but nobody does anything. Because they're just like, I'm going to die if I try to change something. So I just kind of go with it and somebody else will take care of it, you know? So, I mean.
So Drew, the question now is, he's been doing this for decades, the same bad behavior over and over and over again. It's not really being checked on it until right now. Will it affect his career? Is this a cry for help? Does he need help?
Right.
These are just questions.
I mean, no, yeah, exactly. And honestly, I think those are really good discussions. And I think that that should very much be something that, in my opinion, and gentlemen, again, you're more than welcome to disagree. I'm not going to cancel any of you if your opinion is contrary to mine. Personally, I just think that we should be able to talk about it. We should be able to educate each other on different perspectives and really come to a better understanding, because personally, that's the only way that we're going to be able to improve it. Because if we just go with this is right, everything is, we're only acknowledging one perspective, and that could be just as dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a time where we really have to encourage. We have to encourage that people need to be able to come forward, and there's not going to be any recriminations.
Yeah.
You're not going to get punished, because that's the thing. It's fear. So, you know, we just got to encourage everyone to find the Green Lantern and all of them and rise above the fear.
Yeah. Wolfie says, read the book, The Dark History of Hollywood. This kind of crap has been going on for about 100 years. Yeah.
100%.
Yep. Now, going forward with Joss, I mean, should he be punished for how he treated people? Yes. Should he be totally destroyed? I don't think so. I mean, you know, it's the whole cancel culture is, I think it, once the ball starts rolling, it goes a little too far sometimes. But should he be in charge of or directing an entire movie by himself? No. Should he be devoted to just writing, you know, and giving creative input, you know? But he, obviously, he's not a people person. Obviously, it seems like he has a problem treating with people with respect and treating women with respect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that it's, you know, if he has a career moving on, you know, if he goes into, what is it they go to? They'll go away for a while. Rehabilitation
therapy.
Yeah. That's the popular thing, and he'll come back all redeemed and everything, but he shouldn't be in charge of anybody anymore. He shouldn't be directing or, you know, it's just go back to writing, go back to creative input, but yeah, it's don't interact with people.
So,
Yeah,
heavy start, guys.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth almost breaking a hip over, I'd say.
Yeah. you may have seen in our cover the little Stay Puffs. What do you guys think of that?
Okay, I just watched this like 20 minutes ago. It's so cute.
Yes, it is. I agree.
I made sure to wear a Ghostbuster shirt.
Awesome. I really hope that
come on, Ghostbusters.
When they they're usually when Ghostbusters like does like a tie-in with something like a product, like they brought back Ecto Cooler a few years ago.
Yes, they did.
And I think they did like a marshmallow Stay Puff thing, which we saw product placement in this. I hope they're planting the seed of doing that again right around the time when this movie comes out in November. So, because I missed out on the window for the Stay Puff back in 2016, or whenever the female Ghostbusters movie came out.
What do you have there, Drew? What was that?
Oh, I just my little Steve, not to interrupt, my little Spud,
nice.
My little Slammer piggy bank. You know, saving up for a containment unit, guys.
That's
you
awesome. Know,
a lot of big. Gonna need a lot of bread to capitalize. No, Steve, I totally agree. And that was one of the better things that, in my opinion, came out of the 2016 Ghostbusters. And we're not going to talk about that because that is just a rabbit hole of criticism that I do not have time for.
much less do not need to have people misunderstand what I mean. But yeah. I have to say, as a fan, I am 100% excited for this. This commercial, I had no idea till I think Leo or somebody was like, oh, you got to check this commercial out. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I checked it out and I loved it because, you know, you got the seemingly immortal Paul Rudd in there. You've got the Elmer Bernstein theme invoking sound of, because it's basically referencing the scene in the original Ghostbusters when Dana, all, you know, her stuff, you know, starts bubbling and it's where she meets, I believe it was Zool. Yep. For the first time. And on that counter, there was a bag of Stay Puft marshmallows. So that's clearly what they're referencing. And I'm sorry, like, these were cute, but I feel like I can't have a s'more ever again. Because now I'm just going to see that, and I'm just going to be like, I don't want to eat you. You know?
But, like, and the funny thing
mail
is...
Mail all your s'mores to me.
That is too much responsibility, Rich. Okay, I can't afford getting a note. Congrats, Drew. You gave me demon diabetes. Like, I can't do with it, man.
It's so dark. You have one on top here that's roasting and he's melting. You have one that's like totally gone in the flames there, and he's mm-hmm. enjoying being poked. I mean, it's just
he's getting skewered.
Yeah. So my thought is that these are the baby Yoda of Ghostbusters. It's going to be, you're going to have all the different toys, all the different poses. You're going to have to get, 20 of them. And somebody's going to have to go into rehab for it. And
you're going to have to make room for all those baby Yodas in the back, Leo.
Yeah, I know. I got way too many.
I should ask our Ghostbuster aficionado over there, Mr. Bussin Makes You Feel Good. Who was the one in the movie that said the most innocent thing? And when he really comes up with the Stay Puft marshmallow, which character was that?
Okay, hold on. You're talking. This is the thing. That's Ray, and it's the whole. I couldn't help it. It just popped in there. What just popped? I know because I don't think I ever told you guys this, but when I did theater, one of my auditions, what I did like a one man show version of the pink slime monologue from Ghostbusters 2. Mm-hmm. So you haven't lived till you're literally channeling Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis back and forth yelling at pink slime, but all you're just doing is reversing where you're standing on the stage and then you're doing the others. Literally, it was the most schizophrenic moment in an audition. And I'm not surprised I didn't get called back, but I'm still very proud of that. Because I actually did bring a thing of pink slime with me, just so people would know I wasn't just yelling at myself. But to answer your question, because I'm getting very tangential because I get this when I'm excited, as you know, both know, being with me with Splash Pages, it's Dan Aykroyd. He's the one, Ray Stans, who came up with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man because, as he put it, he tried to think of the most innocent thing, something he loved from his childhood, something that could never possibly destroy us. And it's funny.
Awesome answer.
I only know this because whenever my mother is watching it, she always texts me and she'll just always say, you know, you're such a Ray. And I'm like, thank you.
So and how could they possibly now tie Ray's innocent thought into these little marshmallow men? That was my only sort of like, oh, that's so cute, but how are they going to tie that to that? Or it's just going to exist? Or will be no tie-in at all?
Well, it could just be a general tie-in. I mean, you know, we didn't see the Turtles rocking Pizza Hut in the movie, although we eventually had, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle VHSs with a deep dish back in the 90s. Don't get me wrong, still great. Still have the X-Men VHS. It still works. It could just be a general tie-in. Personally, for me, what I liked is that you had Paul Rudd in there, who's kind of the us in the movie. He's like, oh, that's a great replica. Oh, you don't know about this thing? Let me just pull it up on YouTube. To these kids, like, I don't know what a Ghostbuster is. What were the 80s? Wasn't that like 50 years ago? I'm like, yeah, sure. Make us feel really old. So it could just be a tie-in. It could be a clue. It's really hard to say because sometimes toys are toys, food is food. There's no hidden meaning, but, you know, I don't know. After Christopher Nolan, anything's possible.
Well,
look at that.
Yeah, just could we not be any more excited for this movie to come out now?
I'm repairing my proton pack. This now that it's warm, I got to fix everything up because I'm ready, man. It's going to be fantastic. And personally, I love everything about it. The fact that, I don't know if you guys know this, but Jason Reitman showed his father, Ivan Reitman, who was the original director,
yep,
a cut of the film. And he said it was so good that it brought his dad to tears.
Nice.
So
nice.
For me, I was like.
And do we have a release date on this?
I think they said November, because everything got pushed back because of COVID.
Right.
I think it was November 20-something.
Of this year?
Yeah. This year.
Yep.
This
year. Yeah, November 10th, 2021.
Oh, okay. So I was off by 10 days.
I will be 100% vaccinated by then. Yep. I'm going. Like, making the trip, suiting up. I'm losing weight now because... It's like the scene in the second movie. When I put that jumpsuit on, I still wear my jumpsuit occasionally. I'm just like, the Ghostbusters suck it in, guys. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, my. But needless to say, and I do apologize because I feel like I've very much monopolized this. I personally am very excited. What do you guys think?
I'm ecstatic. I know. So James, who's normally on the show, is also in a Ghostbusters group. And I know you are as well. Right, Drew?
I've been in a member of one or two, okay, in the past. I'm kind of a freelancer now. Not that I don't play well with others, you know. But yeah, I'm in between teams, but okay, you know, still Bustin makes me feel good, no pun intended.
Nice. I enjoyed, I mean, I grew up with Ghostbusters. You know, I saw it in the theater. Matter of fact, first time I saw it was in the drive-in, and you know, I was youngin', my mom took me, and it started raining, and you know, they're saying, okay, we're gonna close the theater, you know, it's we'll give everybody a refund, and I'm like, no, I want to stay. So what? It's raining. I get to watch Ghostbusters, you know, and yeah, I'm ecstatic for this, and I enjoyed the last one. You know, I'm gonna shamelessly say that. You know, did it have its flaw?
I enjoyed the first one, and it was one of the first movies I rented from the library. The other one was Jaws. So,
good call.
Yeah. I didn't think the last one was Thomas. Either, especially the Hemsworth parts.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yes, Thomas, I am saying this. I am confirming for all time that, yes, indeed, it does make me feel good. Sorry. I had to. That's fine. Hemsworth.
Just real quick, yeah. Shamizel K. Yes, I am monitoring YouTube. I have been popping up. It's hard to break in to get to everybody's comments, but I see the comments on YouTube, and I'll put them up on the screen.
We see them. We see. Yeah. Don't worry. We see you. Hello to you too, Shmezel. But. No, seriously, Ghostbusters is one of those movies. It's forever timeless. You can watch it. I mean, I remember watching it first when I was four, and then I got hooked on the cartoon, and that just, oh man, kids wanted to be Batman versus Superman. I was like, no, I want to be a Ghostbuster.
Yeah.
I just want to just rock the cool gear, take down demons and stuff. You know, I was like, no, that's much better. Like, screw being being an astronaut. I want to be a scientist, man. You know, it's also, see, if you do find it funny, you rented Ghostbusters from a library, considering how the movie starts, right?
Yeah.
You do see some. Okay, good. I'm just making sure you saw some irony there.
Mm-hmm. I'm just shocked that you could rent it from the library back in the day.
Oh, you know, they're still up. There's a lot of things.
Well, I know
this was back in the day with VHS too.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah, I just went to the rental store and.
Oh, those are fun too. Remember those? Those are nice.
Yeah. I remember the very first VCR I got for my own, very own. first movie I rented was what was it? It was a Schwarzenegger movie. I think it was Raw Deal. Raw Deal. I think.
Yep, I remember that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Out of all the Schwarzeneggers, you went with Raw Deal? Well, it's better than Junior. That's all I'm going to say.
It could have been Commando. It could have been Commando.
Oh, actually, no. It might have been Commando. Might have been Commando. I don't know. They're all good.
Well, it's a Milano action.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. As long as it wasn't Junior, because if it was Junior, I was like, dude, why?
Shamiz, okay. I remembered a Dorkening from way back. Yeah, we've been doing it since 2013. Crazy. Velvet Joker, we didn't hear about you. What were your thoughts on Ghostbusters trailer and everything?
I thought it was super fun. Like I said, those guys, I thought it was great when they were like roasting each other, and they seemed really happy about it. And they looked like they were happy being s'mores, and I really wanted to eat them. They looked delicious. Sorry, Drew.
No, I'm just saying, I'm still going to eat s'mores.
I like chocolate and graham crackers and, you know, little Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. They'd look delicious.
Excuse me, have you seen a recent photo of me? I could do with a little less s'mores, okay? Like,
Well, as you say, your jumpsuit is tight. I can't even tell you how tight my purple suit is right now.
Yeah.
You know, but...
A little aerobic exercise necessary.
But it's so funny... I will say this, like, I was always a fan, and then when I was able to be a Ghostbuster, like, you know, caught through cosplay, it definitely elevates your fandom, because it's so cool when people are so happy. Like, there's very rarely nobody who doesn't know what a Ghostbuster is, although there's always that one person who's like, well, I don't believe in ghosts. And I was like, well, okay, I'm sure you don't believe in the devil and God, but they believe in you. So, you know, to each his or her own. Hashtag, you know, Constantine throwback. Suck it.
I ain't afraid,
you know, and it's, yeah, you get it, Rich. So it's just, I think it's just so funny that the movie, what I think is great is the movie is so timeless that people who grew up with it get to reintroduce it to their children, and then it's, they get to relive it, live it through them. So, you know, I kind of imagine Rich did the same thing when he you know, showed his kids, you know, Jack Nicholson in, you know, Batman. He was just like, you know, this is where, you know, Dad learned who he really was, you know? So I don't know.
My son recites certain parts of certain movies, absolutely. And he shocks me sometimes. Like, he knows the theme to The Incredible Hulk from the 70s. He just shocked me one day. He's like, you showed me this when I was like 4.
Hey, listen, if he can play it on the piano, then that's just goals, because that's the best exit song in the world. Like, all right, I'm leaving. Just play the song.
Well, he's hitting the gym pretty hard these days. He's starting to look like a young Lou Ferrigno, so maybe.
Oh, God. All right. So that's Ghostbusters.
Yeah. We got a couple other things on the docket, but I know you need to go soon. I just want to get your thoughts on we should bring it to Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I can stay on just a little bit longer, so no worries. But yes, please.
Let me just say real quick. They something was trending about release the Zemo cut. About there's a longer version of Daniel Brühl dancing, and it was trending.
Oh my God! What? Are you serious?
Yeah, Daniel Brühl was in an interview or something, and he said that what he was doing dancing in episode 3, that was only like a couple minutes. He did like longer take of him dancing, and there's a longer cut out there somewhere. So
I have no word.
Fist bump going like,
yeah.
Okay, I said this to Leo when we did the podcast yesterday. That moment is my new favorite moment in the MCU, because I have never more related to a character than that. I was like, oh my God, that's me in the club.
Yeah,
that's totally, right, I have done that. Yeah, just hold on. Just, you know.
Yeah, it ended way too soon.
Yeah, yeah, you know. See, listen, these two, Steve, have known of my very frequent proclamation that we need to see the NC-17 cut of Mrs. Doubtfire. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much in support of that. So I'm now extremely also in support of, let's see the Zemo cut, because I want to see how far that went, because that's some Night at the Roxbury level you know, dancing right there. Like, you know, you put that, you, I'm telling you, that's going to be the new Agatha. You put that to a good tune. You know, I like, honestly, I would show up to a convention and just do that. I would just be in the background.
Yeah.
Hey, Schmezel, nice to see you online as well. And yeah, tune in to Splash Pages on Tuesday. You'll see more of Drew and the Velvet Joker. And then Steven's with us every Wednesday.
I'm just imagining what the dancing could be. It's glorious. Sorry, I got distracted. No, I'm sorry.
But yeah. So Zemo, I didn't really know too much about him. I watched a video today explaining the history of him. So the original Baron Zemo was killed off, and then his son took over. Apparently he doesn't really have any powers unless he has the Moonstone, and he's a genius and also a expert marksman, so that explains his fighting abilities. But I still don't know why he put the mask on to do battle and then take it off.
Fan service.
Yeah
comic service, because that was the mask that he had in the comics pretty much.
Yep.
We're just paying a little homage.
Yeah, and it's so I guess his father, when he originally wore the mask, Captain America, he fell into a vat because of Captain America, and like a vat of glue, and the mask was permanently adhered to him, and I guess he went crazy and committed suicide or something like that.
It's comics, man. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Well, that was my research anyway.
That sounds like some golden age level logic. Oh, I can't get my mask off. Let me devote my life to evil.
Yep.
That's logical. Instead of getting a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
Tell that to Doom.
Okay. We're not even going with Doom. Okay. Because upon reading, okay, he might not actually be a real doctor. And that rocked me to my core. But we're not going to get into this.
We have to talk about Doom, because if the country right next to Sokovia that got absorbed is no longer on the map, is Latveria.
Really?
It could be. I mean,
a Doom like power grab.
He does. And I was blown away with this introduction to Madripoor. I mean, I've been reading about it forever, you know, because that's a big X-Men thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading about that forever. But to see it, and it looks fantastic. Like, it's like Tortuga from Pirates of the Caribbean and Cyberpunk 2099.
Yeah, whatever. 2077, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm losing some nerd cred here, but I don't care. It's like they made a baby, and then they dressed it up and took it downtown. Like, the place looked great. So
I will say, I don't think, did any of you guys expect the ending of episode 3?
No.
No.
No, me neither.
I really didn't. Like,
we spoil it now?
No. Don't spoil it. Wait, how long has it been since it's been out?
Like, less than a week. Yeah, less than a week. So I know this is going to be a short season.
Six episodes.
Yeah, six episodes. So we have, three left?
Halfway in.
What do you think they're... You know, I know with WandaVision, everything was Mephisto, and you know, all the geeks were pulling apart every single episode, every little, you know, tidbit of text on there. But what do you think they're going to use this to catapult into phase 4? You know, because it has to connect to something going forward.
Right.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
Greetings! We are the Retro Reductopus Cephalopodcast, a bi-weekly show that celebrates all the things that made growing up awesome.
He's right. We wax philosophic about lots of geeky crap like old video games and movies, toys, cartoons, I don't know, help me out here.
Music. Pants. Quoting video games that don't have dialogues.
Shabibers.
Tasty news.
Unnecessarily long Japanese onomatopoeia.
Butt breathers.
Uncomfortable nature facts.
Or how to install a samoplange. And unlike all those other podcasts, we at Retro Redoctopus have an exciting rotating host schedule.
Do we?
We sure do.
So, if you didn't like the guy flapping his gums this week,
like me,
worry not, gentle listener. Next week, we'll have a whole new host.
Of problems.
Hey, they might still suck, but they'll suck differently.
And you know what's really cool? Retro Redoctopus is part of the Dorkening and Inebriar podcast networks, with new episodes every Tentacle Tuesday.
Which is like every other Tuesday. We named it.
Anyways, you can listen to us at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or any podcast player cool enough to carry the only show that celebrates all things that make growing up awesome.
Power brokers, soldiers, super armies.
Young Avengers.
Young Avengers.
That's what I was thinking. Young Avengers.
Hands down.
Yeah.
I will say this. Oh, right. Are we doing, like, hold on. Are we doing the conch thing finally? Are we doing it?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, cool. I'll just, my little Merv pumpkin head statue here, I'll just raise this when I'd like to speak and you can acknowledge me there.
True.
Marvel, thank you, Dr. Rich, Medicine Joker. I honestly think that Marvel is, let's just acknowledge this, guys. Marvel is one of the best at the long game. I mean, they spent years building up to Avengers, and that payoff with Thanos, Nobody saw coming. Like, that was, I'm still in shock at how well done that was, especially that nobody knew. Because in this day and age, like, things are getting leaked left and right. Like, we need to talk to society's plumber because we got so many leaks.
Oh, yeah.
So their long game is fantastic. Like, if you think of it logically, we've already seen Stature, especially now that Stature is going to be an adult because that's Scott Lang's daughter. We have seen now Wiccan and Speed, Wanda's kids, who would then also be Young Avengers. We just met Elijah Bradley, Isaiah's grandson, in this show. And then we're going to get Kate Bishop and Hawkeye.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, and there's still a lot. Like, you know, we could still see adult versions of Billy and the other kid who I can't remember, Tommy, right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
We could still see adult versions of them in Multiverse of Madness. You know, because let's be real. We've all read Marvel. Okay, Rich has his mug, so I assumed that's his time.
Oh, I'm mugging?
Oh, he's just...
Sorry, I was just drinking water.
So what...
I thought there was an interesting Easter egg. You know, they brought up both on the plane was Winter Soldier's little notebook that Zemo got a hold of. Mm-hmm. Seriously irritated him that he was looking at it. I thought that was particularly interesting, Easter egg wise, because that is also the same book that Steve had, and they referenced that, and he says, "Oh, that's where I told him to write down Trouble Man," and then they have the whole conversation about that. And it just so happened that was on the day that episode aired. It was Marvin Gaye's birthday.
Oh wow!
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I don't know if they planned that, but it just worked well.
So yeah. So what do you think, Steve?
No, comics part of the whole episode. The episode, because comics are out of my wheelhouse, but the episode was good, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next. What they're doing with the whole TV thing, these series, I'm hooked right from the gate, especially with the Loki trailer that dropped earlier this week.
Yeah,
like out of the gate, I'm hooked. And I like how they're setting up, like with WandaVision, it's setting up the multiverse madness and No Way Home. Obviously, like we just talked about, this what Falcon Winter Soldier is going to be setting up. Possibly Young Avengers, maybe, looks like it. All roads are to it. And Loki might be focusing on the space part of, you know, like Guardians 3 or Thor, Love and Thunder, something like that. So from the looks of it, that's just what we've been, me, Leo, and James have been theorizing for the past, like we talked about it last week. Yeah. So, I mean,
actually, I heard a really good theory this week.
It's not on Reddit, is it?
Everything's on Reddit. You know that.
Okay, let's hear it.
So the theory is that Loki, the reason why Black Widow is being pushed till after Loki is that one of the things he's going to do in the series is bring back Black Widow.
Oh, great.
In his time traveling. That's the theory I heard. Whether it's true or not is another thing, but, you know.
Good thing James isn't here because he'd be spewing F-bombs right now because his opinion's on that Black Widow movie.
Well, anybody have any interesting theories besides what we've seen on the internet about who the power broker is? Because I've seen possibly that they say Sharon Carter, which, by the way, she kicked some serious ass.
Yeah, she did.
Totally did.
Yeah, she could really fight. Shield level, top level Shield agent. Or some people have said Arnim Zola, possibly because of the green screens that they had, which is kind of his color scheme since he's gone digital. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I like to be surprised. I think with WandaVision, with the reveal and then all of us like speculating, it kind of ruined the reveal, the surprise for me. So I'm just like staying away from like all the socials and the Reddit and all that. I want to be surprised. Like, I was surprised at the end of episode 3. I was like, okay, did not see that coming. I was kind of expecting it. I knew that they had to rope that in to tie in with Bucky and all that, but okay, you know.
Well, with WandaVision, there was a lot we didn't see coming. Even, you know, I think they purposely leaked certain items. So, like, there was some leakers, and we talked about this before, that had stuff spot on. They had to have seen the episode. And, you know, I was following some of these leakers, and, you know, it's each episode, I'd see what they talked about. And then you get to the end, and stuff they were talking about that was going to happen did not happen. Like, one person referenced the daughter being a bully. That wasn't a scene. It was just a phrase. And then Doctor Strange was supposed to be in it. Doctor Strange did not appear in it. So there was, I think we were very surprised because a lot of the leakers were wrong, even ones that were right. So I think they purposely leaked, you know, non-important information to make the leakers look good.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, this stuff is doing great wonders for, I feel, characters that unfortunately got pushed to the side during a lot of the MCU's, was it like 20 movie campaign, right? 20 movies?
It's
the Thanos glove. 23, the Thanos glove collection. This is just great because this is the equivalent of like Marvel little mini series in between main events. And as we all know, sometimes those can be even better than the big events because instead of dealing with everybody, you're dealing with small cast. So, and honestly, I'm just considering how well they're doing. I really wish we'd had this earlier because I feel like it would have really done, we would have seen a different side of the MCU. So I'm glad they're doing it now, but it's like, you know, it's the same way I feel like, why didn't Disney decide, hey, well, let's just release Black Widow last year on Disney Plus. Suddenly now, like, oh, we're going to do that. And I'm like,
well,
we've done this before.
You know, they were definitely hesitant against it because, you know, how much money do they make in the theaters, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people didn't think that the pandemic was going to last, you know, even this long, you know?
True.
I'm sure they're all hoping, okay, well, Christmas time, we'll get people back into theaters. We're going to make, you know, billions of dollars, you know, again. Mm-hmm. But it should have been released last year. You know, now it's at the point where, you know, if I see it, great. If I don't, you know, yeah.
Which is sad because it's, from what I hear, it's a great movie. And I'm really excited about my boy Taskmaster getting his shot on the big screen. I think he's going to do great.
Yeah.
So I will also say this about Falcon and Winter Soldier. I love the back and forth between Bucky and Sam. Like, this is just some Riggs and Murtaug level buddy cop. They brought up, oh, you're not going to move your seat up. You move your seat, seat forward. No. I was like, okay, you know, you have that fan service. But for me, you know, it just, their chemistry is so great because they obviously irk the hell out of each other. And now I'm also really psyched because when I see a Gandalf standing next to a Bucky at a con, that's just going to bring me such joy because I'm like, wizard, sorcerer. Especially if he's standing next to a Doctor Strange. Yeah. I mean, that's just a meme right there. It's just like dreams versus reality.
Tom Morse says, what's everybody's opinion regarding She-Hulk and how she'll come into the MCU?
Can't wait.
Yeah. Well, she's coming in via a series, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a series. And I heard a rumor, and I believe this is confirmed. So no offense, Leo. That her villain is going to be, at least one of her villains is going to be Abomination. And I'm like, yes, bring him back. And I'm still holding hope that we're going to see the leader again, because they built Samuel Stearns up perfectly. And then nowhere.
Yep. And that's part of the MCU. And it's, you know, the first Hulk movie is officially canon. So he's still there.
I hope they just give it a little bit of a comedic twist. They sort of the John Byrne treatment, where they really pushed her lawyer thing and had a bunch of goofy people she had to go up against.
I feel the same thing with the Dan Slott's run. You know, they had her working as a lawyer dealing with like time travelers and aliens and stuff. It was very zany, but it worked. And again, it's not like we've seen over the years. She's had her dark storylines. You know, personally, I'm kind of hoping now that she's there, we're going to see a female Thor, that we might get that big fight that Mighty Thor had with She-Hulk. Actually, like it was like issue 700 of the Mighty Thor run. I would think that would be awesome, because what better way to bring back that Thor-Hulk rivalry?
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited because, you know, we're seeing more characters, you know, and then the best part is everybody gets to know these characters, not just us now. You know, we now get to share them with everybody. Like, think of, it's like what Guardians did for those characters. Outside of comics, nobody knew who the hell these guys are. Now everybody knows who every member of the Guardians of the Galaxy are.
Yes, now it's nerd sparkles for everyone.
Indeed. You know, it's we've done it, guys. We're running the show now, and we have chosen to show some of our bullies mercy, only some. You know, before we're like, okay, you're running high school, but now we run the world.
What?
Yeah. But we are benevolent geek and understanding.
What's the phrase? Geek is the new chic.
Or that Leo never again.
I was going to say, who says that?
I remember hearing it.
Leo did. And now he can never say that again. As God is my witness in front of Rich and Steve and Baby Yoda, never again.
I don't know. I heard it. Could have sworn I heard it in the 90s or so. Sorry, conk. Put your conk up.
I'm done with you. I can't. Yeah, I will say this, though, in terms of projects I personally can't wait for, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with Blade when they finally get around to it, because that's the one I'm super excited for. Because I remember when I saw the first Blade in 1999, I was like, this is the coolest freaking thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember thinking, I was like, oh, my God, my canines aren't pointy enough. Damn it.
Did I read that the sorry, what's that?
I apologize. I was just saying I watched it not too long ago, the original one, and it still holds up pretty well.
Yeah. Still holds up.
The effects are really good.
Did I read that they're saying that the original three movies are canon in the MCU? Could have sworn
maybe
I read
the
it.
Original two. I don't think we talk about Blade the series and the third Blade. I think it's one of those that's like in that mixed shared universe that Spider-Man 3 and this the Fantastic Fours, all of them, and Ghost Rider, you know, and Ang Lee's Hulk. I gotta say that now. I think it's just there. We just like, oh yeah, that happened. Cool.
Well, I mean, it's referred to as Legends, you know, that's what they got it labeled on Disney Plus. I'll have to go
is
back
it, though.
It's what I label it under my Plex library. So,
listen, I will give them this. The soundtracks for those movies were actually pretty good. Like Daredevil may have sucked, but man, that soundtrack is great.
The soundtrack for The Punisher in 2004 was awesome. Like you have like the double whammy. Like you had Daredevil soundtrack in 2003, and the following year you had The Punishers. Like
the Thomas Jane Punisher, just in general, was just awesome.
Yes,
and it's funny because I feel like the movies never really showed his potential, and then they did that short film, Dirty Laundry.
Yes,
and holy cow, did that just. Like anytime someone's like, "Oh, Thomas Jane sucks as a Punisher," I sit them down.
Yep.
And if I have to, I'll do a Clockwork Orange style. I haven't yet, but I will. If someone and we'll watch Dirty Laundry. And I was like, "What do you got to say now?" I was like, "Oh," I was like, "You can't look at Jack Daniels the same." Anytime I pick up that bottle, I'm like, "Oh, damn, this is a weapon. This is not just to destroy my liver. This could be used to take out six armed thugs on a corner assaulting a little child." I was like, this is intense, man.
Yeah, that was awesome. Speaking of kicking ass, we also got a long Halloween trailer.
Yes.
I will say, for someone who's starting to watch Supernatural, like me and my girlfriend are like, it's in season 11 right now. So we're right almost at the very end of the road with Supernatural, pun intended.
Wait a second. You just started watching that, like, not even a month ago.
No.
No?
We started watching it about 6 months ago.
Oh, okay. I thought you started it recently. I'm like, wow, no. You blew through that.
No, we're at season 11. Anyway, okay. I'm seeing Jensen Ackles in Supernatural. I can't wait to see him as Batman.
Well,
I can see
him hear him Batman. As Batman.
Yeah, I can see him voice Batman. Yeah. So.
He did Red Hood.
Yeah, he did Red Hood.
Yes, he did. Did a great job.
Yeah.
So and then we're going to get the, is it Posthumous for Naya Rivera, who's going to do Selena Kyle, because she passed away last year, drowning in the lake while she was saving her son.
Yeah, it's her last role. And so we're going to get that kind of ominous spookiness that, you know, we had like with The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger.
Yeah,
and it's gonna. I think honestly, it's gonna be really great. And personally, I love this story. Long Halloween has always been one of my favorites of Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. I mean, literally anything they did was pretty amazing. But this story, I'm really excited. And I mean, we've been through so many Batman. Like me and Rich, we could go over every goddamn animated Batman. But I'm excited about Jensen, but I have to be honest with you. I'm kind of hoping that there's some Supernatural reference. I'm not on season 11 because I'm a fan, but I'm not that fan. I'm hoping for something, like if Batman says pudding, or if he says not cool, or just something Dean that I could just do a Leo in.
For the record, it's the first watch for me. So once I'm going through the seasons first time for myself. Okay. So.
I just want to just do that. Oh, that right there. That was a Supernatural reference.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know.
I got that reference.
I think it's going to be great. Yeah, exactly. I got that one. What do you guys think? I feel it's going to be awesome.
Same.
Well, I'm only partially through Long Halloween reading it, so
what do you think?
Loving it so far.
So good.
Let's not ruin it, 'cause we're gonna have to go over that in splash pages probably right before the animated comes out, so we can contrast and compare.
Definitely.
I have to be honest with you, I am a little scared because I as excited as I am, I do remember when they adapted Hush, which has always been one of my favorites. Like that and Ultimate Spider-Man is what helped get me back into comics back in 2006. And I was a little disappointed because I know they had to adapt it into their animated universe. So some of the changes, I was like, oh, come on. So I get why sometimes they have to adapt certain things because they have to modernize. But sometimes I just wish that they would just adapt it as is.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be of a connect. It's just, this is the story as is, and that's the nostalgia.
Well, kind of like them throwing that Batgirl sex scene in Killing Joke. You know, just keep to the original storyline, but just make sure it doesn't have to be, the artwork doesn't have to be accurate to the comic. But, you know, since it is a cartoon, make sure the animation is great, because Killing Joke, I don't think the animation was that good. You know, just bring Bruce Timm back.
It was fine. It wasn't like, oh my God, amazing. I mean, when they got it right, they got it right.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I feel like, guys, we are nerds that we should always go into things with moderate expectations. So then we are never horribly disappointed. But then if it's amazing, like, wow, I'm pleasantly surprised.
They rarely stay true to going exact to form what the comics were. They always have to augment.
Yeah.
But I know that Hush thing with the Riddler was a big like surprise. But I guess because he's a more popular bad guy. So
yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. They didn't give a date on it from the commercial. It just says own on digital and Blu-ray.
Now, is that going to be a two-part? Because I thought I saw something that said part one.
Yep. Two parts.
And are they going to release that back to back, or is it going to be like a year in between?
They did Dark. What's that?
Unknown.
Dark Knight Returns? It was two parts.
Yep. Dark Knight Returns was two parts. And I think it was a couple months in between each part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got to build the anticipation.
Yep. Totally. Got to get those Blu ray and streaming sales in, you know?
That's right.
Totally. I know we are running on time. Just wanted to show real quick. James sent us some awesome pictures from the people behind Despicable Me. We're getting Super Mario.
Super Mario.
Oh, no. Okie dokie.
Mario and Luigi and Wario.
Let's-a-go. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, Steve, you go, because I have so much to say. Go.
Yeah, I think both of us are going to say we're the same thing. I think people born before 1995 are going to have really low expectations because they're scarred for life.
I'm not scarred for life. I
have issues.
I remember I was excited when Super Mario Brothers came out, and... you know, it's. I used to watch the cartoon too, with and they had the live action Mario and Luigi in between. So yeah, it's
deep seated issues.
Yeah, I know.
Are you trying to
say that many Baby Yoda?
Are you trying to say the live action movie was not a quality production? Is that what you're saying, Drew?
Okay, Steve, you might want to finish your train of thought before I unleash the beast, because I'm about to go turtle shell in all of this.
The only thing good about that movie was the soundtrack.
Agreed.
Take it away.
Get some star power on here. Yep. Okay, I'm going to star power this right now. Okay. I'm excited. But let's just remind ourselves of what happened the last time we put faith in seeing Mario and Luigi, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And I think that should all be enough, okay? Yeah. Because, like, okay, it's just video game movies are very odd. It's the same way I feel like how the only good board game movie we ever had was Clue.
Yes.
Okay? And it was
Thank you.
Wait, you didn't like Battleship?
Okay. Who are you?
Leo, let me put it this way, okay? If I wanted
Leo
to play chess...
performance.
Yeah, Leo, if I wanted to play chess with the Transformers, okay, I would go challenge Frank Welker, okay, to a game of checkers, or maybe, you know, the guy who does the voice of Optimus Prime to a game of Connect Four, okay?
Yeah.
So it's just, listen, video game movies are tricky. And I hope that they get, like, if they're adapting one of the games, cool. There's nothing original. The only original film I want to see, personally, and I do agree with what Tom just said.
Yes.
Bob Hoskins did the best job he could, although the fact that he acknowledged him and John Leguizamo were drunk huge amount of the time, which made me actually appreciate that movie even more, to be quite honest, because that's what that became to me and my friends was, it was always a drinking game. And let me tell you, in that respect, never disappointed. But listen, the thing I'm waiting for is when they announce that they're doing Luigi's Mansion.
Oh,
because
yeah.
If they do that movie, done. I'm ready. Let's bring the video game Ghostbuster to life. Let's go.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion was amazing. I still need to finish the third one. And I guess the story behind that is supposedly in the first one, like, Mario's dead. Did you hear that theory?
See, there you go. It's dark as hell. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. But I'm excited for Mario because, you know, I loved Sonic. They did an amazing job with Sonic. And I'm hopeful, especially the people behind Despicable Me, you know, I love those little minions.
Did you see that somebody kept making like a joke theory that they're trying to, that in a kind of poking fun at Marvel, we're trying to build a Super Smash Bros. Universe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, because you had Detective Pikachu,
yeah,
and then you had Sonic, and then just had and then like Nick Fury was like, I want to talk to you about the Smash Brothers initiative. And I was just like, you know, this wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, because you have Link in there as well. Does that mean
we're gonna do a Link movie, but Nintendo pulled the plug like about a month ago? So
yeah, which is stupid because I mean we still haven't heard anything about the 35th anniversary except that stupid Twilight Princess HD version.
And you know, all we need is a Metroid movie, yeah, and then you know we could bring in some randos. You know, we could Spider-Verse this. This could work.
Bring back Captain N.
Just, you know, I can feel the energy here.
Bring back Captain N. He had like mega.
I don't know, that's just me.
No.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
So, listen. If it goes well, awesome. Like that studio does good work. But I'm sorry. When you said Mario Bros., I was like, okay, I'm interested, but I'm scared.
Come on, John Leguizamo was robbed. He should have got the Oscar that year. He's a genius. I tell you, he's a genius.
Yeah.
I have no words because I know way too much about this movie because I've read the IMDb so much. And I'm scarred. I'm just like, why do I do this? You know, we had such faith in this thing and it would just, oh God, everybody hated it.
Not everybody. But I was young when it came out, so it was...
Leo hated it.
Yeah. So I need to rewatch it. It's been way too long. Last time I saw it was on VHS.
I recommend a bottle of whiskey. That's
yeah.
Fair warning.
Sounds good. Well, we'll wrap things up. Steven had one other thing, and we'll just urge people to definitely check it out. Pac-Man 99. I finally watched the trailer, and you're right, it does look awesome.
What?
Awesome, insane.
Yeah, it's Pac-Man, but is, you know, did you play like Mario 25 or Tetris 99?
35, yeah. It just,
oh my God.
So they took out Mario 35 because of that March 31st thing, got rid of all the Mario games. And they're giving us Pac-Man 99. So you're basically playing Pac-Man against 99 other players.
Yeah. And they added things like special power-ups, like you can speed up. There's ghost Pac-Mans that will slow you down. There's also a ghost replicator. Like if you go through it, it'll add, like each ghost will have, you know, like 20 different variants or something.
And you can send the ghost to the other players and it will literally screw them over.
Yeah, so picture one ghost going, and it's like a mirror image, like, you know, 10 or 15 of them behind it. So you can get a power pellet and, like, eat 10 to 15 ghosts, like, in a row, and then send all those ghosts to somebody else.
So what you're proposing sounds like a combination of Ready Player One and Civil War right now, and I'm for it. I'm very for this.
Yeah, totally. Looks very good.
Sounds fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Tom says Pac-Man 99 looks awesome. And yeah, thanks, Steve, for bringing that to our attention. I still need to get the new Ghouls and Ghosts as well.
You totally do.
Yeah. Okay, so, Drew, where do you like people interacting with you?
Yes, hi, everybody. You can find me on Facebook. It's Drew Mallow. You can also look me up on Instagram, GhostbusterMan1984. I write regularly for Screen Rant, so you just look up Drew Mallow Screen Rant, find all my work, and please don't cancel me. Yeah. All right.
Sounds good. Velvet Joker.
Well, you can find me usually on Splash Pages on Tuesday nights, and occasionally I'll guest host here to help everyone out. And you can find me also on Instagram at VelvetJoker2021.
Steven.
You can follow Super Retro Throwback Reviews on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Our podcast, Super Retro Throwback Reviews, the audio files, comes out every Monday. and CSI The Vegas Files comes out every Friday. Both those shows are on the Dorkening Podcast Network. I'm here every Wednesday. Follow us on Twitch at Super Retro Throwback Review. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/SuperRetroPodcast. And follow me on Twitter at SuperRetroTBR. I know I said it earlier, but this week, the end of this week slash weekend, I'm going to be watching like a marathon of indie wrestling up to WrestleMania with some friends day and night. So watch me live tweet marking out watching wrestling if you are a wrestling fan.
Hey, Leo, before we go.
Yeah.
Local news. I'm sure you heard Terrificon is back.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Jeremy hopped into the chat and told us. That's crazy.
Yeah, weekend of July 30th.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Might be the first con of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be at Mohegan Sun on Friday. That's where my vaccination is. I'm a little worried about it because I thought it was going to be in the parking lot, but it's actually in the convention center.
It's the expo center. You don't have to worry about it.
Those one-armed bandits, they're just calling you, Leo?
Well, no. I'm worried because, you know, I know it's going to be a bunch of... I don't want to end up getting sick before I get the shot, you know?
Hold on. So before you go, I want to confirm this. So you are actually more afraid about getting a shot in a convention center than you are in a parking lot.
Yeah, because the parking lot's nice and open. I'm people in this area are stupid, so I'm just gonna.
I was gonna say because where I'm at, parking lots are very different. Convention centers are bright and lit up, and there's probably, you know, if you call somebody, they'll probably answer. A parking lot, anything can happen in a parking lot. You can end up in another dimension in a New York parking lot. Okay, so, you know, I'm just saying it's an odd reversal, but COVID messed with everything, so it's fine.
Yeah. We'll see. I know it can get claustrophobic, especially the hallways in there if the lines are long. So
listen, I understand. I'm getting mine tomorrow at a CVS. Nice. So you're telling me the same place I can get half priced Easter candy, I'm getting my COVID shot.
Yep.
Gotta love this country.
Yeah. Which one are you getting, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm getting Moderna, I believe.
Nice.
That's what I got.
Yeah. There you go. Look, see, he's super strong. He's gonna, you know, stole cold stun this virus. So you get it, man.
Hey, Drew, were you at the DMX vigil the other night?
I wasn't, but I did wonder where X was going to give it to you. And I was just like,
apparently the White Plains Hospital.
Yeah. You know, I didn't find out till later because I found out through the radio. And then when the vigil, I was like, no, I'm home. I put sweatpants on. I was like, I'm not ready to rumble. I'm just going to have to take it to my grave.
I thought you were a real rough rider, but I guess I was wrong.
No, you know, in terms of my fandom,
roll, shut them down.
Nope. In that case, Romeo must die. So hard to say. Yeah. But no, I'm really hoping a speedy recovery because I did not realize he has 15 children. So, you know, and I was just like, wow, that's a lot for kids to be without a dad. And I really hope he pulls through because that's just so horrible. So, yeah, I'm hoping. Just everybody, I'm just hoping everybody's going to do well. I hope you and you know, Grandpa over here, I hope everyone's going to do well. We're going to bounce back.
Yep.
And just money in bank accounts, everybody. That's there what is. I want.
Well said. For me, just Google Leo Pond. You'll find a bunch of stuff. Could be true, could be not. I'm not going to say which is which, but I run the Dorkening Podcast Network. We have over 30 shows on the network. A lot of awesome stuff by a lot of awesome people. Follow Drew and Velvet Joker and Steven as well. Check out all their stuff. And everybody, don't go anywhere except the viewers. I'm going to close things off. But have a good one.
Have a good one.
Peace out.